I work with Josiah Venture. So star at Nose JV. So, we're a ministry that seeks to equip churches to work with young leaders throughout Central and Eastern Europe to reach young people. And so Zala, who you had 2 days ago, is also one of my colleagues that works alongside me. And I've invited three other people to join me in this network today. And the reason is this, within my organization, on my teams, I have the nickname Techie Terry. And it's not meant as a compliment. I'm actually technologically very limited. but there are other people in our organization that do a fantastic job of meeting, working with people through technology. So I've invited a couple of those people today. One is Stojce from Serbia. And he'll share about a very exciting online ministry that he has in Serbia. Another is Stephanie. She's from the States, but she serves in Slovenia. Sarah knows her well, and she'll be sharing just how to do a mixture of using technology, but also in-person disciple making. And then my wife will be joining us. She's from the Czech Republic. She is the by far the better looking of the two of us. So you can, there's my wife there. And she, in the last year, has been discipling new believers, people that came to Christ during COVID. And so she's been discipling new believers in a mixture of online and offline worlds. So she'll be sharing about how she's been doing that. And I just realized now that, there you go, stop share. So, but before we start, I would love to know, in an hour's time, when this ends, and you're asked to rate the speaker, that's me, you rated this as the best session you've ever been to. What does that mean for you? What questions do you have in this area? Disciple making in the digital age. What are some things that you hope we're going to be addressing today? So in the chat function, could you guys write any questions that you have? Now's your chance to write them in there in the chat function. If you write nothing, it means either you should be giving this talk instead of me, or this isn't something that you're that interested in or engaged in or not so important for now. And that's okay, because these networks give a variety of different pieces of information. But for some of you, maybe you're still trying to work out, how do we do disciple making in this new age? Some of you have, after a year of COVID, feel like, I've got this down pat. Good job. And we'd love to hear some of your thoughts later on today. So thank you, Miloš. After some time, there is time to invite them to offline world, when and how. We are going to be talking about that. So Stojce will be talking some of that. How much should we be using tech while also recognizing the danger of addiction in young people? Stephanie might be mentioning that. Hanka might as well. Is a church the only means? Okay, is a church that only meets online really a church? Oh. That's a good question. Struggle to connect with people who have grown up online. Okay, that's also a great thing that we can share a little bit about today, especially if they're younger people, and how to make personal and digital, how to make digital disciple making personal. Stojce is going to be talking about some of that, and keeping the disciple make personal and relational. Fantastic. Most of these are things that we have planned to speak about today. So I am very happy that you've raised them, including what platforms to use as well. The question from Steve, is a church that only meets online really a church? I'm not going to open that subject today because our theme is disciple making. I'm playing it safe. I'm a coward. Okay. So, this is day three of the Disciple Making Network. So I just want to find out what you've been doing so far. Disciple making as a whole, just two or three people, just tell me, what have you learned so far? Just to make sure I don't have to cover the basics. You've had some great speakers so far, and show me that you've had some great speakers so far. When I put this together for other people, I have to start off with talking about what is disciple making first. I would love to go straight to the digital side with you guys, but can a couple of you just share with me, what are some of the things that you've been discussing in the last couple of days? What does disciple making look like? Not digital, just normal life. What is disciple making? Who wants to be brave?
Well, I was going to say, just from the handout, I don't know if you're planning to follow that, but point 1A, we were taken through that the other day by one of your colleagues. Yeah. So
great. I'm aware of that. So so I wasn't planning on going through it, but I just in general, I'm curious to know, disciple making, what have you been talking about for the last couple of days? Not, I know what Zahra taught, but what else have you guys been discussing?
I just wrote it in the chat, but I can say it as well. What really stuck with me is when we talked about the biblical foundation of discipleship, that he really stressed that discipleship is for everyone. You don't need to be a super Christian to do this. Everyone should be a disciple and make disciples.
Yeah, fantastic. And that comes from the Great Commission, go and make disciples. And that's the commission for all of us. Great, thank you. Would anyone else like to share something? Joel, you wrote relationship versus program. Is that a question, or is that what you guys have been speaking about already?
Yeah, we discussed about that in two of our talks.
Fantastic. Oh, it's great. And one other thought?
We discussed some images discipleship can be compared with. So it's a farmer image in the field, and parents and the child, and also master and his how to say it, the person who learns from the master.
Fantastic. Okay, that is great. And so obviously you've been speaking a lot about, you know, disciple making is personal, it's organic, it can't just be a program. But now what happens in COVID when you can't meet one-on-one with people on a regular basis? How do we respond to that? So what have some of you guys, how have some of you guys responded when it comes to disciple making from a distance? Or let me ask a different question. Do we have examples in the Bible? Who was forced to do disciple-making from a distance?
The letters of Paul is something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, if you're following my notes, it's there. Yeah, Paul is a perfect example of someone who was in a very restricted circumstance. So, you know, if I was put in prison, I might say, oh, well, I did my bit. Thank you, Jesus, for being able to serve you until now. And now it's time to have a break. How can I possibly disciple people now? But what was Paul's response? He continued disciple making in two ways specifically that I can think of. So what were those two ways?
He kept talking to the prison guards about the gospel.
Exactly. He had a new mission field. Okay, can't go to Corinthia anymore. But there's these prison guards around me, so I've got a whole new mission field, and they're chains to me. They're a captive mission field. So in our scenario, what does that mean? During COVID, who were some of our new mission fields maybe that were close to us that we'd never really reached out to before?
I think for my wife, she the soil changed, right? So different Facebook groups, and we moved to Madrid in the middle of that, so just connecting with different people in different ways online. Where are people congregating? Where are people gathering?
Yeah, great. So it's a new online possibilities. One of you said neighbors.
Saying neighbors in our building. Yeah.
Yep, that's fantastic. You know, the people that are closest to us. So that was one thing that Paul did. He had a restricted circumstance, which we're all experiencing now, and he moved to a new mission field. But then the other thing he did, which one of you mentioned already, I think Ilya, he wrote letters. And he continued discipling from a distance. And some of those letters were to entire churches, and some of those letters were to individuals. So you've got Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. He kept reaching out to churches. But then with Philemon, he was reaching out to an individual. So he continued to do what he did with a new medium. And that's pretty much what we're called to do right now in this digital age. And we have a barrier in some ways with COVID. We're in quarantine. Sometimes things are open, sometimes things are shut. But we also have an opportunity. We have opportunities that Paul never had. What he had was paper and pen, and he actually had to have somebody else write for him oftentimes. And I imagine that he didn't have much access to paper, whereas we have, well, we have this thing here. And I call this the day the world changed. The day the world changed. So what are some of the ways that you guys would say that the iPhone or phones have changed our world since June 29th, 2007, when Steve Jobs held up the first iPhone? What has changed?
The information become very available.
Yes. Okay, great. And some people are writing things too. So always connected. Information is easily available. Yep. Stephanie, global communication. Yeah. Jay, where are you right now?
Yeah, sorry. I'm right near Seattle, Washington.
Seattle. Yeah. And that's why he keeps saying this morning, because it really is early in the morning for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, global communication. Any other things that smartphones have brought into our lives?
An invasion of our private life.
Oh, the invasion of our private life. So possibly some negative things too. So you notice that wherever you go online now, those advertisements trail you. Whatever you search for is going to come up on your Google links in the future. Addictions. Yeah, there's a lot of addictions now. Now, there were always addictions. So pornography, alcohol, and things like that, they have always been available to us as addictive substances. But especially for young people, oh boy, this can be a blessing and a curse. Okay, what are some other things that this has brought in our lives?
Yeah, I mean, how you market yourself or your business, the audience that you have, the customers that you can get are now worldwide. They're not just local.
Yeah, so you can market yourself worldwide. You now have a global platform. But what does that also mean? Oftentimes, now we don't know who we're meeting anymore. So last week, I was on a yacht for 5 days with five complete strangers I had never met before in my life before I turned up at the yacht. And so I looked at all their Facebook profiles to find out as much information as I could. And I had a lot of thoughts about who those people are based on their Facebook profiles. And they were actually quite different when I met them in person. And so sometimes, people can now become two or three different people, and you never know which person you're meeting. And sometimes with young people, they don't know who they are, because they're creating one persona online, then they've got their home persona, and then their friend's persona, lots of different things. Steve also said information overload. And that means that it's hard to discern what is true and what is not true. Jay, you've written cameras are now everywhere. Yes, our lives are much less private. So those are just some of the things that are now a reality in our world. When bored, we tend to scroll endlessly. Yes, we waste a lot of time. Well, I waste a lot of time on this thing. Do you guys waste time too? Mm-hmm. Come on, let's be honest. If there's something I really don't want to do at work, I might just be like, oh, I'll just check my messages. And about 2 hours later, I remember that I'm sitting in my office. So, yeah, I just checked my email. Sorry, there you go. So there's a lot of change that is happening, and some of this is good and bad. So I'm just going to share some of the things that I wrote about with those changes. So, So you've got, for example, everything is available. That's a good change in many ways. My preference is no longer limited by geography. Now that's a great thing. I can buy anything from anywhere. It also means I can go to church anywhere in the world that I want, which raises the question, is an online church a true church? So everything is available anywhere. So what else do we have? Everything is personalized. It's all about me. And in some ways that can be healthy, but in many ways that can be very unhealthy, because then we become very, very picky. And everything is convenient, which sometimes means don't make me work hard to find something. I don't know if you guys have been impacted by this. In the olden days, I used to go to libraries and look for information and spend a long time looking for information. Now, if I can't find something within about 2 minutes on Google, I give up looking. You guys do that too? Some of you are nodding. Okay, thank you for your honesty. So don't make me work hard to find something. Everything is immediate. Don't make me wait. Oh boy. Don't make me wait. And everything is true. At least it's true for me. I'll just take this bit of information and this bit of information and this bit of information and put it all together. And that's my truth. And that also happens with faith. I'll just take this little thing that I read there and this little article I read here and that person's opinion, because that is what I want to do. And I'll put it all together. And now this is what I believe. And don't you dare tell me that what I believe is wrong, because it's all about me. So that creates certain challenges for us, but it also creates some opportunities. So very, very, very quickly, what are some of the challenges from a disciple-making point of view that we can now find raised by this digital world? So some challenges raised by some of the things that I've just mentioned.
I would say, you can access the best preaching in the world. So as a pastor, like, how do you compare to that? Like, man, you either have to step up your game, or we as a church have to figure out, well, maybe preaching isn't going to be our main selling point anymore. We got to do something different.
Yeah, that can be a challenge. Or you can do what one of my friends has done is just cut and paste an American sermon into their own language and present it as their own. that now that's hard, especially for local pastors that are gifted in ways other than communication. It feels like you're competing with some people that are worldwide names. So that's a challenge. Some other challenges.
I think one of the challenges is that there's a lot available, but for example, much more in English. And so in our context, our group is quite mixed, and there's some French speakers, but other that are bilingual. And then you have like two classes of people, those that can reach more content. And then they talk about it. Oh, this book is great or whatever. And then the others that feel like left aside a little bit, mm-hmm. Because you can't share the resource with them.
Yeah, it's an opportunity, but also a challenge. And sometimes you have to make a decision. We're only going to stick to this one language here, which will limit us, but it'll enable us to be a community together. On the other hand, the other languages, opportunities, it opens a world. So some other challenges created by this digitization of our world.
I think the personalization, it's all about me and I have to like it. I feel like it encourages church hopping to be like, oh, I don't like the worship, or no, I don't like the visual things they do. It's not modern enough. I'm going to go to that one. And and maybe that makes us not commit as much, or young people, they're like, no, I'm not going to commit because it might, I might not like it, or it's all about me. Like, church is about me and me feeling good and me.
Yeah. And that is unfortunate, but it does happen, which actually is the reason why disciple making and true disciple making is so important. So good job for picking this network, because I think in a true disciple making context, it's harder to do that. It's not about me. It's about the community or the people around me. For a lot of people, if this doesn't fill my need, I'll just go somewhere else. And there's no commitment because everything else is so readily available. Okay. But there's so many opportunities as well. We have opportunities available to us that no one has had before. So what are some of the opportunities that this new digital world brings to us? And sometimes they're the same as the challenges. So what are some of the opportunities that you guys have found in your own ministries maybe, or that you see are available to us now?
Maybe the challenge can be same, like, can I offer the best quality? or maybe can be opportunity I can grow in this, I can be better, I can learn from other people saying how to do it better in that.
Yeah, so there's an opportunity, you learn what you know, what you don't know. You learn what you don't know and you're challenged to grow. Great. Somebody else was gonna say something?
Yeah, I have a friend in Greece who's doing church planting and people were gathering his house and COVID shut that down. And so all of a sudden he really had to pour into like 9 leaders who then was doing it. So it was an opportunity really to decentralize himself. It forced him to do it, even though he wanted to, he didn't know how. And it's like, it was the perfect opportunity.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, and COVID has actually in many ways forced us to begin to act like the early church again. So that was also, we found in our work, there's a lot of opportunity with our restrictions. So it's forced us to re-examine why we do things and what's the best way of doing something. So what are some other opportunities, Jay?
I'm just calling out Laura.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you. I think it's easy to meet because I live in Madrid, for example, but we have to spend a lot of time going places. And in this time, this year, it's been easier to meet with a lot of people by Zoom because we don't have to spend time by the car or the train or traveling around.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that we can do this, that is a massive opportunity. Can you imagine if COVID had happened 20 years ago? Whew. So thank you, Jesus, that we had this opportunity. So yeah, so there are opportunities to meet that we never had before and opportunities to meet new people that we never had before. Now, there's apps like Tinder, which use that in a different way. But we as a church also have these opportunities to engage with people that in other ways we would never have engaged with before. So maybe one more example. Stephanie, you wrote there are good digital programs and resources to organize and communicate better within the church. Yeah, we have a lot of resources available to us that we never had before. One other person maybe, one other opportunity that you see. Yep, Marco.
Yeah, I was just thinking that it's everything cheap. It's quite cheap to afford the digital area because everyone can have access and it's for everyone.
Yeah, and actually in some ways, and this is where I introduce Stoica. Stoica, my friend in Serbia, on a very small budget, began to have a very, very large ministry impact. And so, Marco, what you've just said actually perfectly opens the door for me to introduce Stoica. So, Stoica, thank you for coming today.
Thank you, Terry, for the opportunity.
So just briefly, can you share with everyone here, disciple-making in the digital age, what do you do?
Okay, how you said, like, we start with something small. I start with my phone, Samsung Year G3. That was like my first recording in the church, you know, like that was 5 years ago. Can you imagine that? 5 years ago, putting the Samsung and start to record the sermons in our churches. And that start to grow. And after that, we start to like search how we can be better, you know, like how we can get like better sound, how we can do it better, the quality. But we find like small iRig, what can be, you can take the for example, the sound for the mix, you know, directly go to the phone. You know, that's what for me, like in that moment, I was jumping like, whoa, we can have like best quality sound now. And of course, we start to grow in this, like learning how we can do it better, social media, what we can do it and everything. But, you know, like we was for 5 years, we are growing every year with something new, trying something new, some better quality. And the first goal, how we start with this, it was like more to reach the people from our area, from our city, around the villages. That was the goal. It was not something big. It was like, but I started with small, like short messages, like 3 to 4 minutes, like messages to share, like devotion. And how you said, like some people cannot read, some people cannot have in English or something like that. It was listening a lot of people in Serbian. What mean, like daily 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people will listen our like short messages.
Can I just ask, can everybody, yes. Stoic is speaking very fast. Is it too fast for some of you or should he slow down?
It's too fast?
Okay, it seems like you're okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. Okay. Sorry, guys. That's like, I'm energized. Yeah. And what happened after that, like the Corona time come, you know, it's like they close our church. And the first week, the first Monday, we come and I said, like, we need to do something about this. Like, we cannot close the church and stop this and that's it, you know. And what I was like starting to pray, I'm guy who have like, I'm visioner. I'm like, I need to have something. We need to do it, something. And I start to pray and start to fasting and ask the Lord what we can do it, Lord, about this. And God showed me, you have already everything what you need to do it. It's like start on Facebook every day, short messages, record every day. And I was like, come to my team. And we said, like, you know what? We need to start to record everyday messages and be on social media, like really present right now. This is the momentum. And my team, of course, they said, like, do you want to kill us? What is your goal? It's like, I said, no, we need to do it. And we start every day to record short messages and send, you know, like put on Facebook, put on YouTube, on Instagram every day. And what happened? It was like crazy. In one moment, our Facebook page start to grow like crazy. Every day, we see new followers. You see new people who is following us. And I would like to give you perspective a little bit to see how big is this for Serbia. In Serbia, we say like we have maybe 10,000 believers total. 10,000 believers. That if we have 10,000 believers, we are very good. But I don't believe we have 10,000 believers. Like the biggest church is 100 people. You know, when you have 30 people in the church, you are like mega church. You are a very good church. You know, it's like, and our Facebook page start to grow like really fast. And today, listen to this number. We have 37,000 people who is following us on Facebook. Can you imagine that? What mean around 27,000 people, non-believer, following our Facebook page. But we are recording everyday messages. And what happened? Of course, something interesting what happened. People from outside, from other countries, start to follow us. For example, from Germany, people who is Serbian living in Germany, they start to follow us. People who is Serbian living in French, they start to follow us. You know, like start to follow our Facebook page, listen to the messages and something like that. I will share with you couple maybe stories, like short stories, what God is doing. For example, one guy from Požarevac, he's not from my city, that's like around 300 kilometers far from me. He started to follow our Facebook page, listening the messages, short messages, what we are sharing on Facebook. And what happened, it's like he was listening one of the message when I realized we have a lot of non-believer on the Facebook page, and I will do it some often, you know, like maybe like ask to pray and receive Christ in their life, you know. And he pray and received Christ through Facebook with me. I was leading and he was praying. And after that, he find on Facebook personally, he sent me a message and he said, you know what, I pray today with you to receive Christ, and I want to find like local church. You said like if you want to find local church, contact me, and I need to find local church. And I was like, yo, man, I will find you a church right now. You know, it's like I start to contact some pastors, ask for numbers. I give to him the number. The next week, he's sending me a selfie and he is in the church, in the local church. And I was like, that's amazing. For example, another story, one lady from Hollandia, I don't know how to say in English that, but she was like following us on Facebook, and she was listening every messages. Like, and she contacted me and she said, like, do you want to talk with me on WhatsApp? I want to share with you one story. And I'm like, okay, I'm open. I can talk to you. Go to WhatsApp. And she said, like, I want to encourage you with something. And I'm like, whoa, that's awesome. Tell me. And she's like, this Corona time, for 1 year, I was listening your messages every day. And what I was doing, my sister, she is from Belgrade, but it's from me far, maybe 150 kilometers. I was sending your messages, every message to her saying. And I was like, okay, awesome. Thank you so much. And she's, but no, I need to tell you something what happened. Last night, in your last video, you shared the gospel and she received Christ with you. And she sent me a message and she said, I received Christ in my life. And I'm trying to connect her now with the local church in Belgrade. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is awesome. I have a lot of these kind of stories, what God is doing now through social media. But we realize a lot of non-believers following us. And we said one moment, we want to send to everybody free Bible. You know, who won? And then in, like around 400 Bibles we sent till today. That's it's like awesome. But what happened 1 week like ago, one of the guy from Germany contacted me and he said, like, you know, Stoichi, we want to talk to you on Zoom. And I'm like, who? Like you're like, that's, there will be more people or what? Yes, there will be more people. I'm like, okay, I'm open. And I go to Zoom and I was like, okay, what is the purpose, man? What I will do there? It's like, okay, yeah, I'll go with you on Zoom. And I go with Zoom and I see around there 30 people. And the star, he was like, Stoichi, I want you only to listen. Nothing, you know, it's like, we don't expect to you to talk or nothing. Oh, I want only you to listen. I'm like, okay, I'm listening. And everybody start to introduce themselves. Like I'm, I don't know, in Serbian. They are Serbian, but they are living in Germany, everywhere in Germany. And they start to say their names and they say to start to say how they start to follow our church, how they listen our Bible study, how they make the group together from our Facebook page. They find each other and they connect to the group, and they wanted to say to us how they are thankful for that, you know. And one of the guy there was on Zoom and he was like, man, what I need to do it to be baptized? I'm like, oh, just wait. It's like, and it was like amazing to see these 30 people from different part of Germany. They come together on Zoom and they worship and they are listening our Bible study. Can you imagine that? It's like, that's amazing.
You want right. to ask? Deutsche, thank you so much. I mean, that, so that is one example of starting with a mobile phone 4 years ago. Now 37,000 followers on Facebook, and not only passive people, but we've heard stories of food. And actually, if I had given Stoichi another 2 hours, he would keep talking about other people that have contacted him and let him know how those Facebooks have impacted them. So that's one way of using digital media that Stoichi has found. Now, not everybody is going to have that kind of impact. And maybe some of you guys are sitting here thinking, whew, that's great for him, but not for me. I'm much more of a local person. And so... we're now going to hear from two different people that work on a more local level and how they've mixed in-person and digital disciple-making. So Stephanie, I'm now going to introduce you. You're an American lady living in Slovenia. And how have you continued disciple-making in the COVID times?
Yeah. So like Cherry said, I'm mostly focused on a local youth ministry. I've been living in my community for 11 years. And so I've got kids anywhere from 12 to 25 that I have relationship with. And maybe you kind of experienced where over time in that first lockdown, less and less people were showing up online at times. And that is definitely something we've faced this last year. And just kind of owning those realities, not everything has has developed maybe the way we hoped online. And clearly there is kind of a capacity people, including ourselves, have for online engagement. And I'm not all hip and cool. So for those of you maybe who also feel like, I don't even know how to engage in some of these things with young people or people younger than yourself, I hear you. And I just want to say, do what you can and know your limits. And also the most we can just be ourselves in those platforms, the better. And so I think some things I've realized in this time is they can do less time online than if they were in my home. And they usually like it to be less people. So the kind of bigger youth group setting, we were losing people. But if we had smaller groups, they would show up for that. Or sometimes even gender specific groups. For whatever reason, they were more comfortable in those settings. So I think even adapting to acknowledge that reality has been key for us. And another thing that I just did, I just started picking up my phone and making personal phone calls. I had a life coach tell me once that she only does life coaching on the phone because people are actually more distracted by looking at themselves. That includes me. Looking at themselves and the video aspect actually is not always best. And so I would just start calling kids, even kids who maybe don't talk on the phone a lot, and just making them talk to me. And what I found is I was getting more personal one-on-one contact with kids during the week than I felt like I was having on Friday nights at youth group in person. Because Friday night youth group, there's all this stuff happening, kids are talking to themselves, there's games, there's all this stuff happening. But when I was on the phone with them, I was actually getting more of that, what is going on in your life. And so I've just continued that pattern throughout this year, and that's been a huge blessing. And then also I find kids are on Instagram a lot. And so just trying to engage and messaging them on the platforms they're on. And then when I can, I don't do Zoom. So if we're going to talk in a messenger setting, like a video messenger setting, sometimes I'll use Facebook Messenger, just because if they're on Zoom for school, I want this to kind of feel different. So there's even times where I'll use a different platform just to kind of change things up. And then some of you were even mentioning about that personal touch. Besides the phone call, I also like to bake, and I had a lot of time to bake this year. And so what I did is, because I'm in a local setting where there is, like, I can travel and see them quite easily, I would do like cookie drop-offs and try to wave at them from my car and tell them when I was coming and have just some kind of like physical interaction, if they could stand on their, like, their front porch, or maybe not, depending on the parents, just trying to leave baked goods for them. We did a Christmas package drop off. We were making sure that we're always celebrating everyone's birthdays online and giving like the gift of encouraging words to them, and just trying to make the most with those kind of special opportunities, whether that's a holiday, a birthday, those things. And then also when we are able to be back together, we've been in groups of 10 at the most, and yeah, kids show up that we were not seeing online. Kids were showing up in person. And that's been super encouraging to me, is they do want to be together, even if they're done with the online context. And so we've just been encouraged by kids showing up in that context.
Okay, thanks, Stephanie. Now, Stephanie was speaking a lot about young people, but I am an elder of a church, and a lot of what she was saying for her young people are the same for members of our all generations. So the context is the same. The relational need is the same. And not wanting to be on Zoom in the evening because you've been on Zoom all day. It's the same for adults as well. So that's two different contrasting examples of disciple making in the digital age. One is more Pauline. So Stoica, I'm from a distance, reaching a lot of people. And then Stephanie was more... I'm going to say Christ-like in some ways, like the skin-on-skin, like living life on life with the people that she's also working alongside. Now, this is my wife, Hanka.
Hi, everyone.
And this year, she's been discipling new believers. And so this is also something extra, discipling people that have been believers their whole lives or raised in the church, or have been believers for a while when they understand, I should be doing this to a degree. That's one thing. But we had a lot of teenagers come to Christ last summer, and Hank has been discipling those young people for the last year. So what are some of the things that you can share about discipling new believers?
Okay. Well, from my experience, this year was actually great for new believers because they had all the time in the world to read the Bible and pray, right, from their bedrooms. So actually that is... that has been a great change for me to see, is kids who are willing to take that extra mile in reading the Bible and really not just reading it, but also just discussing it and wanting more. So with our group, there are five students, and with our group, we would meet once a week. We would meet on Zoom. And I was the one to always just end it the first, because they would just keep going on and on and on. And I am a teacher, so I'm the one who spends most of my time online. And I would be like, I'm sorry, guys, I'm done with screen. But what was nice is the restrictions here in the Czech Republic were quite harsh, but you could still meet in person one-on-one outside. And so we would have a small group every week on Zoom where we would read some basic materials, read from the Bible, share what our struggles are, pray for each other. And actually, the one neat thing was how open the teenagers are, you know. So a lot of them struggle with things in their families. And so what's nice is, even as the week progresses, you see on our messenger group, you see different prayer requests or just shout out saying, hey, this is cool. You know, you were praying for my brother and this is what happened. Or, hey, this is a praise song that I listened to this morning and I love it. So I just feel like sharing it. So you have that once a week Zoom Bible study. But what's kind of cool is that the group kind of lives together throughout the week via Messenger. On top of that, sometimes I manage to go for a walk one-on-one with them. That's been really nice because I am not a technology type of a person. And so those one-on-one times outside have actually been very great. I don't know if there's anything else you want to share.
Well, I think that's fine. I think one other thing is that even on Zoom, you've had the young people leading the Bible studies themselves as well. Mm-hmm. You've been using materials and equipping them to lead themselves. So it wasn't just a question of giving them as little as possible, but you've actually been taking great steps forward with those young people.
Mm-hmm. And also one other thing that I actually really enjoyed, Stephanie, what you said about baking and dropping off the cookies. I mean, that always helps and works, right? If you make the effort and make something, bake something. I mean, I made prayer bracelets for the kids and bought some Christian books, just different. I thought of, okay, what is it that they would enjoy reading other than the Bible? And then I dropped off the packages with them, you know. And so they still, even today, the girls are downstairs as we speak. And all of them are wearing their prayer bracelets and they exchange the books because each and every one of them got a different one. So they, you know, swap them. So every little extra thing really counts. I would say more than the amount of Bible verses that you manage to cram into them.
And that goes with the personalization. So you might want to bake, but some of you might feel like, I'm not a baker, and yeah, my men will not appreciate getting muffins. but in this new world with everything being personalized, it's important to think about who are we discipling and what is special for them? What would speak to them individually? Because those small little things can have a great big impact. And then the final thing, of course, is Right Now Media. I don't know if any of you guys have come across Right Now Media, but this is a Right Now Media at work.org. It's an online, it's like the Christian version of Amazon.com. It's a lot of great teaching that you can find in one place. People like Larry Osborne, Patrick Lencioni, Paul White. But you also have disciple-making themes, leadership themes. Those are all covered on Right Now Media. And it's just a great resource if you have half an hour and want to learn something about disciple-making or listen to a sermon. It's all there. So those are just some quick online resources that I found helpful. Welcome back. In my small group, two or three of the people said what they got. One of the main things they took away was what Stephanie does is bake cookies for people. So I thought that was very funny that in a digital discipleship workshop, they learned to bake cookies as a disciple making tool. But actually, that's a great example of what the digital world allows us to do. It allows us to personalize how we reach people of all generations. So one thing I didn't say, for example, before I reach people, I check their Facebook page if they're older, their Instagram account if they're younger. And that even gives me something to talk about with them that day. I can see what they've done that week.
Stalker. Watch out for the stalker.
I'm stalking for Jesus. And Stephanie, do you send cookies by mail? That's one of the questions that we've had. So Well, Jay, we're coming to an end. So thank you guys for listening.